Please bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, we come on this most holy night, Holy Maundy Thursday. We celebrate with you Eucharist, Communion, the Last Supper. Father, may we plummet the depths of understanding, but not only understanding, but may what you do in the midst of this meal we celebrate so often be very real to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. On the night before he died, he gathered his disciples and then celebrated what's become known as the Last Supper, the Passover meal. It's not always true that the calendars coincide, but this Friday is actually Passover. Jews around the world will be celebrating Passover. Passover. The Seder. Just a year ago, we transformed this room and had a Seder supper. That meal which helped the Jews remember their deliverance from Pharaoh out of Egypt. God setting them free. God delivers his people. But in the midst of that Seder, that Passover, that night, Jesus transformed that which those that were gathered at that table that evening would have practiced each and every year of their life as Jews. He created a new meal, a meal that was never to repeat it as it was that evening. Here's what he said. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now or until the day when I will drink of it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." We've come to call this meal several things: the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, Communion, Eucharist, Mass, the sacrament of the altar, the Lord's table, the breaking of the bread. My question isn't what do you call it, but rather, what does it mean to you? Is it an important weekly, or even more often than weekly, staple in your spiritual diet? Or just once in a while a special holy feast? Is it a sacred gift of God each and every time you come? Or do you find it to be more of an obligation or a habit? Is it a meaningful means of grace, a way in which God touches you and visits you? Or a meaningless ritual? Is it the height of your spirituality, or just rather an institutional process that's evolved over the centuries? Is it a banquet of the scraps of grace that God lavishes upon us, or empty symbolism? What is this meal to you? What happens to you as you partake of this meal? What's it all about? You see, Holy Week, particularly Maundy Thursday, brings the faithful out. It's never a big crowd, it's just what it is. Brings those of us that have grown up in a liturgical background by and large, or those that have come into a liturgical background and really appreciating the different new things about the liturgical church. And you'd think that because we regularly, each and every Sunday in the Episcopal Church now, since the revision of the prayer book in 1979, are expected to have communion about every Sunday. There's still some churches that have that integrate morning prayer in their calendar on a Sunday morning, but most Episcopal churches across the country. You'd think we'd become familiar and understand it. But I dare say that a lot of folks sit through it and it never really touches their heart as it's supposed to. What is it about? What is this meal? Well, first of all, it's a meal. Martin Luther, the great reformer, his favorite name for this meal was Simple Supper. Because you see, it's a supper, it's a meal. But that kind of becomes a little confusing because the way in which we receive it within our tradition is we either kneel at a rail or we stand. Where else do we have supper where we stand or kneel in a row? The disciples at the Last Supper reclined a table. Not that we could do that and effectively execute communion on a weekly basis, or heaven forbid, on Easter or Christmas Eve. So the mechanics of how we've evolved to what we have sometimes confuses what this is, but it's a meal. It's confusing, too, the amount of food that we get at this meal. Where in the world do you have a meal where you only have a little sliver of bread that's paper thin and cardboard shit-like and a sip of wine? But it's a meal. It was a supper. And the elements we have are to remind us of that supper. The way we partake of the Lord's Supper, we can trace back to the Middle Ages. We are taking part in a supper. It's a meal. But it's not a meal for the body, so it's not important how much we get, because we're not satisfying the hunger or our thirst. It's a meal for the soul. It's not a meal for the body. Martin Luther puts it this way: therefore, it's appropriately called the food of the soul, since it nourishes and strengthens the new man. What is this that we celebrate, this meal? A supper. And second, it's a memorial. It's a supper of remembrance. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is a cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Two times he says, "This is a supper of remembrance." When you eat the bread and you drink of the cup, may you remember my body and my blood, my death for you on the cross. It's to be a meal of remembrance. But not just a memorial meal, where we're remembering something 2,000 years ago. Wasn't it great he did? No, there's something he's doing as well. Because it's a holy meal. It's a holy meal. He's in that bread. He's in that wine. He's transformed that bread, and he's transformed that wine. Can I take it to a science lab and measure the bread that it becomes flesh and the wine that has become blood? No. But I know that it has become for us his body and his blood. Somehow, some way, God is in it, and that bread has been transformed. Because listen again to those words from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body." Not as you hear so much, well, it's sort of like my body. "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." This meal is a supper for the soul, a supper of remembrance for what he did, that we would never forget, as the Jews were never to forget their deliverance from under Pharaoh and Egypt. We're never to forget the deliverance that Jesus gave for us from the cross. But it's much more than that. It's a holy meal. God is in this bread and is in this wine, visiting us here tonight and each and every time. But it's more than that. It's also a meal of forgiveness. Listen to the words from Matthew. "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Martin Luther writes this about it being a meal of forgiveness. "This meal is especially for those who know they're sinful, but who believe that they will receive forgiveness. When your conscience troubles you and says, 'There and there you have sinned and you are anxious to be free from your trouble,' then go to the sacrament and say, 'Have I sinned? Yes, I have. Then this body has not sinned. It is without guilt. This body is offered for me, and this blood is shed for me for the remembrance of my sin and the remission of my sin. This I do, this I believe. And as a token of it, I will receive the sacrament. When you do this, then your sins are taken away and cause you no more distress." He built a whole theology on those words from Matthew, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. There's a sense that as we receive it into us, understanding our sinfulness and desiring remission, that we're taking him in and pushing the sin out. This meal is a supper for the soul, a supper of remembrance, a holy supper where he's present, a supper of forgiveness. It's a meal for the family. It's our family meal together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "Since there is one bread, we are many, are one body, if we all partake of one bread." It's to be the symbol that universally Christians eat of this bread and drink of this cup. It's to be a symbol of our connectedness, that we're family. It's the family meal. Unfortunately, we're not at table with one another. We're standing or kneeling. But it is a meal, a family meal. What is this meal? A supper for the soul, a supper of remembrance, a supper where God is present and has transformed the wine and the bread, a supper that brings forgiveness, a supper that tells to us that we're family. And lastly, it's a supper that's the foretaste of the feast to come. Listen to the words of Jesus. "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The word "till he comes" gives it an end time kind of meaning and purpose, this meal. We do this until he comes. It's to proclaim that in the days ahead, no matter how tough it is now, we can look ahead with great hope that someday we'll be delivered from all of this mess, and someday justice will happen and we will be with him. And this is a foretaste of what we will celebrate with him in heaven, the heavenly banquet. This supper is a foretaste, a little glimpse of the glorious, magnificent feast that we will someday celebrate with Him. Let your communion, Eucharist, Mass, Sacrament, the Lord's Supper, never be ordinary. Let it never be something that just happens. And you say to yourself after it's over, where was I? But allow what it is to impact you. A meal for the soul. A meal that's been transformed because He's present in it. A meal that brings forgiveness. A meal that reminds us of what He's done that we would never forget. A meal that celebrates our unity. And a meal that propels us forward, that there will be a day in which it won't be a simple wafer and a sip of wine, but it'll be a glorious banquet with Him in heaven. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You that what we celebrate tonight and each and every Sunday here at St. Nicholas Church isn't just some religious exercise, but it's a time in which You're present with us. It's a time in which is rich with symbolism and rich with grace. May it always be that to us. In Christ's name we pray.